We're turning now to the Scriptures, and we're glad that Dr. Douglas has recorded again the Bible reading for us.
It is our privilege to turn again to the Word of God. We are reading from John's Gospel and the chapter 10. This is a chapter very familiar to the Christian and indeed precious to many. Many of you were blessed last Lord's Day listening to Mr. Kenny conduct us through those verses in the New Testament which relate to Christ, the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. But John 10 is one that stands out among the rest, if I may so say. For one thing, it's the longest passage in the Bible about Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. It follows on from that dramatic miracle in chapter 9 when all Jerusalem was shaken by the report of the man blind from birth who was miraculously healed by the word of the Lord and by his journey down to the pool of Siloam where he washed and was made to see. That stirred many hearts. So, moving into chapter 10, we read about Christ here, the only Saviour, the great Redeemer, the Lord, our Shepherd. Notice how the chapter begins, with a double verily. Verily is a word known, I think, to every one of you. It means truly, truly, truly. That's where our Lord places emphasis. In fact, this word comes from the Hebrew. Eventually, if we look back far enough, it comes from the familiar Amen. So here's a passage, if we take into consideration the whole chapter, that carries the double Amen of Christ the Lord himself. And this is what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, don't forget the double Amen, the Amen of Christ is placed upon this very testimony of Scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We're going to conclude with verse 15. And what a grand conclusion this verse makes. Read it very carefully. It has to do with Christ, who he is. Even the Saviour, the one who came among men, who became the Redeemer. Some learned men have erred in that they have looked for another Christ, a Christ who is the product of human conjecture, if you like, the Christ of their own imagination. Now, Scripture warns us against looking for another Jesus. And the Christ who speaks to us now in this chapter is the Saviour, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Saviour, the King of Glory. And you see this testimony to his deity. That's why I have just borrowed a little time here and emphasized this verse concerning the omniscience of Christ. Even during his earthly ministry, let us be clear about that. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The omniscience of Christ. His knowledge is infinite. It's put on a comparison with the knowledge of the Father. As the Father knoweth me, even so, on the same scale, I know the Father. Maybe look at Christ even as he is revealed to us today in his precious word, for his name's sake. Amen.
We're turning now to the Word of God, and last Lord's Day we commenced a little study on the Psalm 23, and so I would ask you to look again at the 23rd Psalm, and we'll also make reference to John chapter 10, the portion of Scripture that was read for us just a little earlier. But as we have God's word before us, we're conscious that we need the Lord's help, and let us unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that we can turn to the Scriptures of truth, and we thank thee, our Father, for thine own infallible and inspired word. And we would ask, O God, as we come to it today, that it would be with that heart that has been prepared, a heart, O God, that can receive with meekness that engrafted word. And may we receive, O God, that word from thyself that will strengthen us as thy children. And even, our God, if there are those who have strayed or those who are unconverted, that thou wouldst be pleased to use thy word today, even to the restoration and to the salvation of precious souls. Father, hear our prayer. Give to us the help and power, the liberty of thy Spirit. And may everything that is said this Lord's Day bring glory and honour to the name of our Saviour. We offer this our prayer in his great name. Amen. Well, last time as we looked at the opening words of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, we were seeking to identify the shepherd. And of course, we noticed that the shepherd was the sovereign. Or in effect, what David is saying here is the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. And then we noticed that the shepherd is also the Savior. And we could look at some Old Testament scriptures that were speaking of the Lord as being the shepherd to his people. And we could think again of those words in Zechariah, where the Lord said, "Awake my sword against my shepherd and the man that is my fellow." And when you come into the New Testament scriptures, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ himself taking on that very claim when he said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd." And of course, the Apostle Paul has spoken of the Lord as the great shepherd, the Apostle Peter as the chief shepherd, and we're left in no doubt that the one David referred to as his shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And then verse 1 also brought out the thought that the shepherd of David became his satisfaction, because David could say, "I shall not want," or "I shall not lack." And really the rest of the psalm is an unfolding of that statement. The rest of the psalm is the evidence and the proof that those who are the Lord's sheep will not be lacking. And I want to think today about the sheep. We've thought about the shepherd, we've identified the shepherd. Well, today the thought is upon the sheep, and we want to identify those who are the Lord's sheep. But by way of introduction, I want you to think a little bit about the setting of this psalm. And as you think about it in its context, you think of Psalm 23 in the position that it occupies within the psaltery and the psalm that is on either side of Psalm 23. If you look at the previous psalm, the Psalm 22, we could say here is the psalm of God's grace. For that's the psalm of Calvary. That's the psalm that points us to Golgotha's hillside. It points us to the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see by glancing at the very opening words of Psalm 22 that it unmistakably points us forward to Calvary. And we read those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And of course, that was the cry of the Savior. He quoted these words when he hung upon that center tree. He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That fifth cry from the cross, it was a cry of isolation. It was a cry of the Son being forsaken by the Father. It was the cry that pierced through the darkness. It's a cry that reminds us of the suffering and the pain of Calvary. And as you glance on down the 22nd Psalm, you could come to the end of verse 16. And we read there these words, "They pierced my hands and my feet." There again, it's pointing us to Calvary. This is the psalm of the cross. This is the psalm that brings out the grace of God to his people. There in the verse 18, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." And unmistakably, we're getting that view of Calvary. The Psalm 22 is bringing us to think about the suffering Savior upon the tree. You can see the grace of God to his people. Then you go to the other side of Psalm 23, and you have the 24th Psalm. And here's the Psalm of God's glory. And it sets forth the glory of the Savior. And you could see that the Lord is being referred to in this psalm as the King of glory. And you could go through the psalm and see that there's the one who's ascending into the hill of the Lord. The one who's standing in the holy place. And this psalm, as it sets forth God's glory, it is showing the supremacy, the royalty, the majesty of the Lord. Ascending into the hill of the Lord. It's speaking of the Lord's ascension. It comes after Calvary. And the Lord ascends up into glory. And he is there arrayed with glory, the glorified Savior who rules and reigns in glory. And one day, praise God, he's coming again in power and in great glory. And so here we have the Psalm 23, and it's in the middle of these two Psalms. The Psalm of God's grace that points us to Calvary, and the Psalm of God's glory speaks of the glorified Saviour. Then here in the middle, we have the Psalm 23, and we could entitle it the Psalm of God's guidance. God's guidance. And so when you put this together, the setting of these Psalms together could be further developed. When you think of the Psalm 22, the Psalm of God's grace, and the Psalm that brings us to Calvary and to see the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd in Psalm 22, who laid down his life, who giveth his life for his sheep. And so we can see it there. Psalm 22 is the Good Shepherd, the Psalm of God's grace. And then in the Psalm 23, which is the Psalm of God's guidance, we see there the Great Shepherd. And the Great Shepherd there that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that Great Shepherd of the sheep. Speaking of the resurrection of the Saviour, referring to him at that point as the Great Shepherd, the one who would bring that life to his people. And in Psalm 23, the Psalm of God's guidance, there's the believer with that new and abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Great Shepherd, the one who guides his people in their earthly pilgrimage all their journey through. And then when you come to that Psalm 24, the Psalm of God's glory, there we're seeing the Chief Shepherd. And Peter was the one who used that title of the Saviour in 1 Peter 5 and the verse 4. And when the Chief Shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And there's the Chief Shepherd, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who one day shall appear for his people. They will appear in glory. You see, the glory follows the grace and the guidance. And we see here a wonderful picture of our shepherd with just the setting of the Psalm 23. We have, thank God, on the basis of Christ's great work at Calvary, on the basis of his grace towards us because of Calvary, we have that life in the Lord Jesus, the one who is the great shepherd who will guide us throughout our earthly journey. And we look forward with great hope to the glory. One day the Chief Shepherd shall appear for his people. And so the 23rd Psalm is sandwiched here right in the middle between the grace and the glory. And it's the Psalm where the Lord will guide his sheep. And I wanted us to think a little bit today about the sheep. Now I have to say, and you can probably tell from my accent anyway, I'm from Belfast. And a Belfast man doesn't know very much about sheep. And what I have learned about sheep, I have probably learned through reading the Bible or from speaking to a farmer who keeps sheep. But I wouldn't have to say very much until you would detect that I don't know personally a lot about sheep. But David was the shepherd. David knew what it was to be a shepherd of the sheep. But here, as David says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. David's actually now taking the place of the sheep. And he takes that humble place of being one of the Lord's sheep. And that's the thought that I want to leave with you today. The sheep of the Lord. And the first thing that we consider together is the possession of the sheep. These sheep belong to the shepherd. And these sheep therefore belong to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. We were listening to the reading from John chapter 10. As Dr. Douglas read down that chapter, he made reference to the hireling. In verse 12 of John 10, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The Lord says, "I am the good shepherd." And so the sheep that we are considering here are sheep that belong to the Lord. And the Lord is the shepherd. He's not an hireling. No, he is the shepherd. The one who cares for the sheep, because these sheep belong to him. The Psalm numbered 100. The psalmist says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And can you think here about being one of the Lord's sheep? That we actually belong to the Lord. The shepherd is the one who owns the sheep, and we are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to the Lord. Now, of course, in the church, the Lord has under-shepherds. Under-shepherds to take care of the sheep. But the sheep belong to the Lord. They're the Lord's sheep. You remember in John chapter 21, when the Lord was recommissioning Peter, and he said to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." The emphasis there upon the possessive pronoun. The Lord says, "Peter, I'm giving you the responsibility and the privilege of feeding the lambs and feeding the sheep, but they're mine. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep. They belong to me." Peter never lost that lesson from the Lord. And when Peter came to write his first epistle, in 1 Peter the chapter 5, and there in the verse 2, he's speaking to the elders. And he said to the elders, "Feed the flock of God." And sometimes we would speak about my congregation, and we understand the sense of that, but really here, when Peter was speaking to the elders and he was speaking about the flock, about the congregation, he said it's the flock of God. You see, when the Lord said to Peter, "They're my lambs and they're my sheep, you can feed them," Peter never lost that. And whenever he came to exhort the elders here in 1 Peter 5 and their responsibility to feed the flock, he reminded them and he said, "They're the flock of God. They're God's people. They're God's sheep. They belong to him." The Lord is my shepherd is saying, I'm one of his sheep. I belong to the Lord. You think about the possessor of the sheep here. They've been given, you see. These sheep have been given to the Savior. And they're given by the Father to the Son. God the Father in eternity past has given to the Son these sheep. They belong to him because they were given to him. Maybe there's a young farmer out there. Young farmer starting out, and you remember a time when perhaps your father gave you some sheep. Gave you that handful of sheep to start off with. Maybe now you have hundreds, but just when you started out, your father maybe gave you those sheep. And you could say, "Well, these sheep are mine. These sheep belong to me." Well, in an infinitely greater way, and spiritually, as we speak about the Lord's sheep, they were given to him by the Father. That's what the Savior prays about in his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And over again in that most powerful chapter, The Lord Jesus Christ leaves us in no doubt that those for whom he was praying, and he was praying for his people, he was praying for his sheep, but he leaves us in no doubt that those sheep were given to him by the Father. John 17 and the verse 9, the Lord says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Them which thou hast given me. And then in verse 11, at the end of that verse, the Lord speaks again in that prayer. And he says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And you could look again into verse 12 and you would see the Savior saying, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. And you could not read the Bible and certainly could not read John chapter 17 and go down the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was praying for his people, he was praying for his sheep, and he said to the Father in prayer, those whom thou hast given me. The emphasis is upon the fact that the Father has given those sheep to the Son. And so the sheep belong to the shepherd, to the Lord Jesus. They belong to him because they were given to him by the Father. But they belong to him because he purchased them himself. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased his sheep. And again, you could perhaps think of the farmer today, those who would go to the sheep market. Again, I have to confess, I have never been to one and no real desire to go to one. But you go with the trailer and you go into the sheep market and you may bid there and you would buy the sheep. You would pay the price and you load them into the trailer and you bring them home and they're yours because you've paid for them. You've bought them. They're your sheep. They belong to you. And with the Lord Jesus Christ and his sheep, the one who is our shepherd, these sheep belong to him because he's paid for them. He paid for them with his own life. He paid for them with the price of his own precious blood. And Peter again is the one who tells us in 1 Peter 1, the verse 18 and 19, For I have redeemed thee, the Lord's great redemption, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we've been redeemed, we've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. The Savior has paid for the sheep. He's purchased the sheep. They belong to him because he's paid the price for them. Believer, as Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he remained at them and he said, Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. We're bought with a price, and therefore we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ because he purchased us with his own precious blood. Do you remember those beautiful words in Isaiah 43 and the verse 1 where the Lord said to his people, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. And then he said this, Thou art mine. Thou art mine. You belong to me. And we belong to the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've been given to him by the Father. And we belong to the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has purchased us with his own precious blood. But there's another sense in which we belong to him, and that's through salvation. Because the Lord Jesus, our shepherd, is the one who has saved us. And he has saved us by his grace. John chapter 6, and many times we would quote there the words of verse 37. And perhaps we don't quote all that verse when we're referring to it. And we would use that verse many times to encourage sinners to come to the Saviour. And it's on the basis of the promise there where the Lord said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And we invite the unsaved soul to come. But that's not the whole of the verse. We tend to leave out the first part of the verse. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "All that the Father giveth me." And what has Father given to the Son? We have looked at it. He gave to them the sheep. He gave to them his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And so those that have been given in eternity past by the Father to the Son will in time come to the Saviour. The Lord shows us that in this verse. "All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and him that cometh," and here is that promise that we can hold out today, "him that cometh," the Lord says, "I'll in no wise cast out." And for every one that comes and trusts savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to him. We belong to him not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity, because he will never cast us out. And so as we're learning today about the sheep and we're thinking about the possession of the sheep, what a wonderful thought and privilege that it is to be numbered amongst the Lord's sheep. But lest we would flatter ourselves, I want us to notice, secondly, not only the possession of the sheep, but the character of the sheep. The character of the sheep. The sheep is a dumb animal. In fact, it's perhaps the dumbest of the animals. When you think of most animals, sometimes we see those animals being trained to do certain jobs or to perform certain tasks, even to do tricks at times. And you have one who would be called the lion tamer or an elephant tamer, or you may have been on holiday and you've seen the dolphins and what they're capable of being trained to do. Or even maybe you have a pet dog at home and you can teach the dog to do certain things. And there's the training of the animals. Not the sheep. I've never yet seen the sheep that has been trained to do tricks or to do anything. Because the sheep needs a shepherd. The sheep needs the shepherd and perhaps even a dog or two, even to round them up. It's a dumb animal. We're being likened there to the sheep. David is saying, and he's the one who's had the experience of being the shepherd, and as he's viewed the sheep, and no doubt he knew how dumb an animal they were, and then he takes that humble position and he's saying, "We're the sheep. We're the sheep." It's also a defenseless animal. And speaking generally, most animals would seek to defend themselves, but the sheep is more known as being quite a defenseless animal. It becomes, therefore, a very easy prey. You're coming back again to the shepherd. And in John chapter 10, you would have thought there about those who would be looking after the sheep, lest the wolves. The wolves would come. And what an easy prey the defenseless sheep would be. And David is saying, "We're the sheep. We have just the same characteristics as the sheep." Then you could think about the direction of the sheep or the lack of direction. The sheep is known for one that would stray. And whenever the sheep strays, it just wanders aimlessly on. Other animals will have that ability to retrace their steps. I know we had a dog some time ago. And the dog took into its head to roam at times, and every now and again it would have gone off for maybe one whole day or for a couple of days, but it had the ability most times to find its way back home again. It could retrace its steps, not the sheep. When the sheep begins to stray, it just keeps wandering aimlessly on. And of course, Isaiah the prophet has brought that in a beautiful way, so graphically, when he says, all we like sheep, we have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You see, we're just like the sheep. That character is the same. Then there's the dependency of the sheep. The sheep is totally dependent upon the shepherd. And reading a little bit about the sheep, I have learned that if the sheep was somehow to roll over onto its back, it can't get back onto its feet again. And if it's left there on its back, eventually it would die. And therefore, it's dependent upon the shepherd to lift it up again. What a picture we see there of ourselves. There's times whenever we can get down to the point where we feel that we're not able to get up again, and we come to become totally dependent upon the one who is our shepherd. And so we think today, as we seek to identify the sheep, about the possession of the sheep, we belong to the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the character of the sheep, we're just like the sheep in so many ways. But then just very quickly, the life of the sheep. And here we could just look briefly at a couple of verses in John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 becomes like a commentary on the 23rd Psalm. It's a New Testament commentary on the Old Testament Psalm. And whenever you think here of the words that we have heard today being read, the shepherd is one who knows his sheep. And so these sheep are known to the shepherd. And whenever you think of that, you look there in John 10 and at the verse 3. To him, that is the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. A shepherd who knows these sheep so well that he knows them by name. And these sheep are known to the shepherd. In verse 27, the Lord says that himself in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Sheep that are known to the shepherd. And not only are these sheep known to the shepherd, but these sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And you would have noticed that even in those verses that I've already read just now. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And again there in the verse 3, they hear his voice. They hear his voice. Verse 4, it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, and they know the voice of their shepherd. And in verse 5 it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's a wonderful thing. These sheep that are being described here, they know the voice of their shepherd, but they don't know the voice of the stranger. Again there in the 27th verse, my sheep hear my voice. And we can hear the voice of the Lord through his word. As we come as his sheep to meditate upon his word, we want to have our ear tuned in to hear his voice, to hear the word as speaking to our hearts. We might know the voice of the Lord and know the guidance of the Lord. William Thompson has written a book some time ago called The Land and the Book. And that is based upon his travels. And he tells about the Eastern culture and customs. And he speaks in that book about the Eastern shepherds of Jerusalem. And of course, he shows the difference between the shepherds in the East and the shepherds in the West. And here, as the Bible is set, it's speaking about those Eastern shepherds. And William Thompson spoke there about watching the shepherds in the early morning. A number of shepherds that would come forth from the gates of the city of Jerusalem, and they would have thousands of sheep. And the shepherds are perhaps standing together and mingling and chatting, and all of those thousands of sheep are all also mingling and mixing together, and then something happens. When all of the sheep are finally out, the shepherds then separate and they start to walk in different directions. And as each shepherd walks in a different direction, he begins to call out with his voice. And he makes some kind of unique sound with his voice. And the sheep, his sheep, hear his voice. And they begin to follow him. And the shepherd is leading the sheep. And William Thompson said it was an amazing sight to behold that all of those thousands of sheep that just before were all mingling together, they all begin to separate and into lines they begin to follow out after their shepherd. The stranger will they not follow, but they hear the voice of their shepherd and they know his voice. They follow him. They follow him. What a beautiful picture that is of the sheep following after their shepherd. Do you hear the voice of the Lord today? Speaking to your heart, guiding and directing your steps. Is your ear tuned in to hear what the Lord would say to you? In these days of lockdown, we're allowed to go out for exercise, and I've never seen so many people exercising in the roads, and some you would see with their headphones on or their earplugs in, and they're obviously listening to someone's voice. Voices that would maybe be calling us in different directions. We need to have our ear today tuned in to the voice of God, that we would hear his voice, we would know his voice, and we would follow him. We would be those obedient sheep. And so as we have sought to identify these sheep today, the possession of the sheep, we belong to the Saviour. The character of the sheep, and we're so like them in so many ways. And the life of the sheep. Can you relate to what has been said? Can you say truly that you are one of the Lord's sheep? Has this identified you? You belong to the Lord today. And you know the Lord and you're known of him and you depend upon him and you hear his voice and you follow him and you seek to obey his word and to do his will. You're one of the Lord's sheep today. Thank God you can say then with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God willing, we will look again further into this psalm and we'll see how the Lord cares for his sheep. May the Lord today bless his word to each of our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.